to Sexy in Van City Radio 101.9 FM on CITR. Or maybe you could be one of our podcast listeners. However, you've decided to spend the hour with us, we're very, very glad to have you. I am very excited. My guest tonight, you may recognize her voice. You may have heard her, but just perhaps in a different time slot on 101.9 FM CITR. And tonight she's going to be on for a completely different reason, even though perhaps you may have heard her voice on her show Synchronicity early on. But tonight we're going to be talking about dating in Vancouver. And she's actually started a new four-way in her life into dating, basically coaching for dating, which is really, really cool. And so I want to hear a lot more about that. So if you're just joining us tonight and you haven't figured out who I'm talking about right now, and you're not one of her Twitter followers or Facebook, where she's got a huge following all around, you are going to be listening to the wonderful, lovely Marie Bernard. Welcome to the show, darling.
Thank you. Hello.
Hello. And it is a very different time slot, is it not?
It is. I get to, if I drop the F-bomb, it's okay, right?
I think so. It is after 10 o'clock by 10:01.
Woohoo! Okay, well, I'll try to restrain myself, but I do get very excited when I can say whatever the hell I want.
I think that's a really good thing. There is something called freedom of speech, and I think Discorder actually has a whole piece about how important that is. And it was just this month, I was just reading that actually while I was in the green room before the show.
Yay! You need so much. Vancouver Magazine, you're in the West Ender, Discorder. I don't know where you find the time with everything you do.
I read fast. I didn't have any friends as a child.
Aww.
No, I get a lot of pleasure out of reading, which I think is really, really key. And I also get a lot of pleasure out of connecting people, because I think Vancouver is one of those places. Vancouver Foundation just did a study again, where they commissioned the study and found that Vancouverites, a lot of them feel very isolated.
Mm-hmm.
And don't feel particularly connected and find it a difficult city to connect with. And that, of course, bleeds into our dating world, where there are articles such as the one we were chatting about earlier off air about, do men in Vancouver suck? And I don't think they do. But I think Vancouver is it's a different type of city. And I'm born and raised here, so I love Vancouver. And I personally think Vancouver is awesome. It's one of those awesome places. But I do see it can be a challenging place to date. And dating in general can be difficult. But it is a daring adventure. So tell me a little bit about your new adventure, speaking of dating coaching.
Okay, yeah. So I totally have been dating online for a while. And not just online, but predominantly. And I've been taught, if you listen to Synchronicity, you've heard about my dating adventures and fiascos and drama ongoing. But in that time, I've learned so much about myself, and I've learned so much about what works with men and what doesn't. And one of the things that actually really inspired me to want to be a dating coach, what I'm doing, I'm not dating coaching, I guess, regular guys.
What do you mean by regular guys? I almost want to put that in quotations.
Yeah, I'm using air quotes too. I mean, they're regular guys, but they're not, they're guys that need a little bit more help than the regular Vancouver guy that we're asking, do Vancouver guys suck? I mean, these guys just need a little bit more help. And yeah, I want to tell you all about them. I don't really know where to start. But basically, I was meeting all of these guys. Part of it was the guys that I would normally just write off right away.
Mm-hmm.
I started to give a chance to just mainly to sort of explore what was out there and learn and all of that. And in that exploration process, I ended up connecting with some amazing men who don't get a lot of chances with women.
Okay. So paint me a picture about what that is.
Well, I can tell you two of the most amazing guys that I have recently dated mm-hmm. were at the time when I met them, were both virgins in their 30s.
And was that for religious reasons? Or...
No.
Okay.
No. But they are, like, amazing guys and so sweet and loving and treat me far better than most of the guys that I've ever been with. And so that was sort of what I kept connecting with these guys, and obviously I can't date every guy who has trouble meeting women. But there's so many guys that need just a little bit of confidence, a little bit of, as an example, one guy who I didn't end up dating, he instantly put me in the friend zone. That's a whole nother story. When we met, and so we became friends, and then we decided to go to a speed dating event together, and I asked him what he was wearing, and I was like, oh, no, I'm not allowing you to go looking like that. And I took him out shopping and everything, and he met his girlfriend at that event, and she thanks me every time we get together for helping him, because she never would have given him the time of day.
How badly dressed was he?
Oh, God, it was a mess. And when I told him, he was like, what, this isn't stylish? Yeah, it was that. And I am not an image consultant. I am not a fashionista by any means. But, yeah, he wanted to wear this, like, oh, my God, if you're listening, I love you. He wanted to wear this, like, not really a baseball cap, but, yeah, sort of a baseball cap. And it was, like, grungy and old and tattered, and I was like, no, I'm not letting you. And he just felt like he had to wear a hat, so we went out and we bought a hat. And then, you know what, he was the only guy at speed dating who was wearing a fedora, and that's what stood out, and that's why he has a girlfriend now.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it's interesting you said about having the hat, and that made him stand out. There is the book called The Game that has a lot of tips, such as that is one of them, about peacocking, about being able to stand out by having a certain piece of jewelry, a certain type of shoes, hat, just to kind of stand out so people remember who you are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good tip.
No, I think it's neat. In terms of with guys, that there's a lot of men in Vancouver, and it's interesting that you've found a few that don't, I don't know how what they were, you use the term regular guys that are not regular guys. What is your definition of a regular guy?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I don't mean to offend anyone when I say regular guys, and that the guys that I'm wanting to help are not regular guys, because they are. But I mean a regular guy in the sense that, you know, he goes out on more than one date a year. He's had sex by the time he's 25. Mm. Unless, of course, it is for, you know, religious reasons or something like that. That sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm talking about these guys that are just painfully shy, who are such good men. They are the men that women in the city are looking for.
Mm-hmm.
But we just don't see them because they're, I don't know, playing card games with their friends on a Saturday night.
It's interesting. It reminds me of the movie The Hitch with Will Smith several years ago, where he was always looking for what I'd call an authentic man, where it's somebody who wants that to shine through. There's other people. I've had Zach Broman on before from Social Fluency, which is about teaching men to be authentic. So then that way, through dating, they're able to connect with people, which, of course, enhances everything in their life, not just for connecting with somebody who could potentially be a mate, but also through work, etc., by making someone feel really good and really confident.
Totally.
In terms of men in Vancouver, there's some really good ones, as we were just chatting about. I think there's a lot of good regular guys, too. What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, for sure. There are lots of amazing men in this city.
So why do you think Vancouver's got such a hard reputation to date in?
That is, I mean, God, there's so many theories, right?
Let's talk about a few of those.
Okay. Well, the men say that the women are too standoffish, and then the women say that they very rarely get approached. What I have noticed, and I don't know if this has been your experience, but you are a very attractive woman. I don't know how often you get hit on in this city. I would imagine a lot less than when you're on vacation somewhere else.
I haven't traveled much. I'm born and raised in Vancouver, and I'm kind of a small town girl in the big city. So I'm lucky that people are always really kind to me. And I think it depends on what type of vibe I put out as well. Sometimes I get hit on more than others. It depends on whether I've got green light riding right across my forehead or not, depending how I walk, talk, and if I'm in the mood to be hit on. I'm pretty good that way, but that's taken quite a long time to cultivate, where when I want to be hit on, I will be. When I choose not to, I'm able to turn that off.
Interesting. Well, I'm going to have to learn some things from you then.
It's just it's about intention and about walk and energy when you want to connect with people. Mm-hmm. And I agree with you that there are sometimes it has to do with body language, like how open we are with our body language. Other times we're closed off. So a lot of it is making sure and being cognizant of, crossed arms, crossed legs, not making eye contact. Although sometimes there are cultural reasons as to why people don't make eye contact. But I think you can meet people in a lot of different places in Vancouver. From there, though, it's taking it to the next level. Again, what is the intention? And that said, I have been in the past, dates where I didn't know they were dates until date three or four, where I actually got kissed, and I was kind of shocked because I thought I'd found a new best friend.
Wow.
So a little bit surprised. And so with that, that has happened a few times to me, but most of the time just through reading body language and being really upfront about my expectations. But I also take control too. A lot of times, if it is someone that I've met and I'm not sure if it's a date or not, I'm always really upfront, where it's like, let's hang out, let's go for coffee, go for dinner, and get to know each other. If this turns into something, that's great. If not, I've got some amazing female friends I'd love to connect you with.
Mm-hmm.
And then I find that takes the pressure off, so it's not so freaky and people can be themselves a little bit more. That said, I think at the very beginning, there's always the honeymoon period as well, where people, we all want to be liked. That's what it comes down to. And sometimes we screw up and do silly things that makes it difficult to just be ourselves.
That's interesting because there is this relationship expert who I love. I don't know if you've heard of her, Alison Armstrong.
I have not, actually.
Okay, she's awesome. I'm actually going to one of her workshops in LA in December. I'm super excited because she's amazing. But she actually advises both men and women not to go, like, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, someone who is like, who makes you so hot, you're just like blinded by their awesomeness. She advises to not go for people like that because you can't be yourself around someone like that.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That kind of reminds me of one of the theories, and I'm not going to quote which book it is because I'm just trying to remember the reference point for it. And if somebody wants to add it on our Facebook, they can, because we're having a little bit of discussion going on my Facebook page right now. But it was an interesting thing where we had Dan Six on the show many, many years ago, who was a dating coach. And what he used to encourage was, if a man thought a woman was a 10, to chat up her friend and treat the 10 as a 3, because the 10 would be used to being treated as a 10 and wouldn't take it seriously. But if you ignored her, she'd notice you.
I think that's a good tip if you want to manipulate someone.
I agree. I think it's disrespectful. I think it definitely will get somebody's attention. And on the opposite end, I'm really lucky because my partner happens to be the good-looking one in the relationship. And I don't know.
I think you're both pretty gorgeous. So.
Thank you. But with that... You know, if I'd stayed to that, and it took me a long time to get in a relationship with him because of that too, because he is really good looking, and And with that, I wasn't sure if I wanted, was up for that. But that being said, if I had, you know, held let that hold me back, I wouldn't have been lucky enough to find my best friend and the relationship I've got now.
So
I think it really depends on the situation. I see her point, which is it's interesting because if you can't be yourself and you're always worried where somebody you see them as, you know, such a amazing person where you put them on such a pedestal where it's not authentic. But I think that comes down to what are your expectations around them when you see them and you find them so totally attractive. What is it? And can you actually get past that and actually see who they really are?
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of times we project what we think they are.
Oh, definitely.
Which is why the honeymoon period is oh so wonderfully sweet. And then after that you wake up and you get to know someone and find out what are they really like? What are the values? What are the connections? What's actually there? And from there, it starts to grow. It's like seedlings where it starts to bloom. And it's like a plant where you need to make sure it's an annual that you've planted. So it continues to grow. And there will be times where it's just more blissfully content as opposed to just euphoric highs.
So I have a question
sure.
for you. When you met your guy, mm-hmm. were you, I mean, you mentioned how he is so attractive to you, but were you completely like gaga over him? Did he make you feel nervous and like you couldn't be yourself?
You know what? It's been a long time since I felt like that. And I don't think since I was in high school, to be quite frank.
So no.
I'd say probably not, but he is a very, very, very good-looking man, and a lot of the other women around me found him very attractive as well, so I gave him wide berth. I was also in a relationship when I first met him, too, so we didn't get together till about 10 years after we originally met. Both of us were in other relationships, but I could acknowledge that he was very, very good looking, very attractive, but not to the tongue-tied thing. I don't think I've had that, Maureen, since I've been a teenager.
Well, I think that's what when Alison Armstrong advises people, I mean, you can be with someone who you find aesthetically is a 10. Mm. I'm talking about on your own meter of like how attracted you are, how like befuddled you are when you're around them. If it's a 10, a lot of us have this fantasy of like the person that we want to be with, and they're mm-hmm. going to be like this and that, and then if we do get nervous and we can't be authentic, like you want to find someone who you are attracted to and you can also connect with and be authentic with.
I agree with you with that. I just think that sometimes, just as long as we don't give up on them, just because the attraction factor. Because sometimes attraction can be related to pheromones as well. And if someone is on a certain type of birth control, sometimes it can affect just how the body interprets pheromones.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we may be more attracted to somebody than we normally would be if we didn't have those the certain birth control in our bodies.
That is true.
So I'm cautious about that one. Yeah, that said, I agree that you do need to eventually get to a stage where you can feel authentic with somebody, because the bottom line is when we're 90 years old and very wrinkly and in our walkers and possibly not having as much sex, it's hard to say, I haven't gotten to that stage of my life yet, but with that, then you want to make sure that there's a really solid friendship under all that and just deep love. And if you can't get to that authentic part, you'll never get that.
Well, exactly. And I think that a lot of people, they go after those people that they're just gaga for, and they feel this like hormonal compulsion to be with that person. And they'll do crazy things and say crazy things and not be themselves and tell lies and be the person that they think this person wants to be in order to attract them. Mm. And I'm just saying, like, that's not the answer. I'm not saying don't go after, I mean, so many men see attractive women and automatically assume either they're taken or they could never, like, oh, she's out of my league. Mm. I'm not saying don't approach those women. I think that you definitely should. as long as you are able to, like, pull yourself together and not, you know, if you find yourself having that behavior of making up stories, pretending to be something that you're not, then maybe you should be looking for a different type of woman.
I 100% agree with you on that one. What would you suggest for someone who finds somebody really, really, really crazy attractive just to kind of draw back and get to be themselves?
That's a really good question.
Any thoughts for answers?
Well, I think for me that one of the biggest things in my dating journey has been self-observation. Observation of just everything, like rather than quickly reacting to things, just sitting with them and noticing the sensations that come up in my body, noticing the thoughts, noticing my urges.
Okay.
And then questioning, like, okay, why is it that I'm feeling this way or that way, or I'm noticing this? And I'm even able to use that in my communication with not just guys, but anyone, like, oh, I'm noticing I'm feeling this way, and I'm wondering why that is. And then you can just kind of talk about it from your own perspective rather than like an accusatory, you know, you're doing this that's making me feel this way.
That makes sense. Unless it's bedroom talk, but that's a whole other conversation.
Oh, that's, yeah.
That kind of takes dating into a deeper spot.
Yeah.
But literally and figuratively.
Exactly. But for me, I don't really, gosh, I don't know when the last time I met a guy who made me feel super gaga like that as well. Like, yeah, probably when I was a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
But I can imagine being in that situation, and I know that when I've been in relationship with men, and then the oxytocin starts going, and then maybe you are away for a little bit, and then women can get a little bit nutty after they're all boosted up with oxytocin, and then he pulls away a little bit. So at that point, I would imagine it would be somewhat similar situation for someone who's like highly, highly attracted. They might get a little bit nutty, and that's the time to sit back and really observe what's going on and be aware that hormones are really what are likely making you have all these thoughts and emotions.
Very much so. The other thing, too, with relationships is really knowing what you want and being aware sometimes that can change if it's the right person.
What do you mean by that can change if it's the right person?
Well, perhaps you didn't want a relationship and you end up meeting somebody that is the right one. Just being being open to things as opposed to saying, I don't want a relationship. I'm open to a solid relationship. So just changing in terms of the messaging in our heads.
Mm-hmm.
So then that way we can actually attract things and manifest things that we like deep down want. So it can be really beautiful.
I love that.
Because it can be fun too. Because I think sometimes, especially with our adventures, it's one of those things that I think sometimes we put people in categories. I've heard some of my girlfriends sometimes where they'll describe somebody they've dated where I'll be like, oh, how was that guy? You know, how was your date the other night? Oh, he was the carpenter or he was the executive. And they don't use his name. And so it's almost this disconnect between who that person was. And then I'll get to hear a really funny horror story or something like that about the date, which of course is always funny, but there's always that part where I wonder how much of it is a disconnect because of the fact that they've almost given up and didn't believe it was possible to actually find love.
Aww.
And I've been there, so
yeah.
So I think it's one of the things we need to be aware of, because Vancouver is just this wonderful, wonderful area where there's just so many beautiful people, period, men and women. I think it's because we live in a moderate rainforest that it's just good for our skin. We're healthy. And yeah, we're just in general in pretty good disposition, a lot of us. So
it is a great city. And yeah, gosh, it's ridiculous how gorgeous some of the people are here in this city.
When you compare us to other cities in the world, like not only is it a beautiful place to live, but it's also, we're also beautiful people.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, I said that on air. We're going to take a really quick short break. When we get back, we're going to be chatting more about dating in Vancouver. You've been listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM CITR. We will be right back.
Listen, if they're so hot, how come they're not tearing up the charts, babe?
Because you never play them, babe.
At CITR, our hosts choose the music they play. That means our charts actually reflect the tastes of music lovers, as opposed to focus groups. So if you want to know what's really tearing up the charts, get your hands on a copy of Beatroot or Discorder magazine, or go online to CITR.ca. CITR's charts are based on actual spins motivated by actual preference. No payola, no marketing, just good tunes. Refreshing, no?
CITR 101.9 and So Salacious presents to you the up-and-coming indie rock band Valley Girl, coming to the Media Club October 21 with special guests Harley Spade, Alex Randall, and more. Tickets go for $10 a pop, kids, and doors open at 9. So don't miss Valley Girl, Sunday at the Media Club, located 695 Canby Street. Have fun.
Become a friend of CITR and get great discounts in the Main Street area at
Antisocial Skateboard Shop, Devil May Wear, Flaming Angels Boutique, Lucky's Comics, Neptune Records, Red Cat Records, the Regional Assembly of Text, RX Comics, Temple of the Modern Girl, and the Wallflower Modern Diner.
It pays to be a friend of CITR. To learn more, come visit us in room 233 of the sub on UBC campus or check us out online at CITR.ca.
We are back in Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. And if you're just joining us, I've got another CITR media personality on who you may know from her show Synchronicity, or you may know because you've had a date with her, or you may know her because she has coached you in dating as well and has helped you find love and romance. So for the people who are looking for love and romance, any advice you'd recommend? Because as we've talked about, sometimes Vancouver can be a challenging city to date in. And any words of inspiration just in terms of just not to give up and just to keep going?
Yeah, definitely don't give up. So many people, they have like one bad experience. And then, I mean, I've done this too. I've met a total so-and-so who has been not a good match, not treated me well. And then I like take myself off the market for literally years because I'm like traumatized and don't want to deal with it. Well, guess what? Every time you do that, then you're off the market for years. And that is taking away your chance at finding love. So get back up on that horse, go out and date. Don't take it personally. If he's not the right guy for you or the right, if she's not the right woman for you, it's not about you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's the most, one of the most important things to remember is just to keep going out there. You really have to build up a thick skin if you're serious about getting out there. And, you know, sometimes people are really lucky and love just falls into their laps. For those of us who haven't been, you've got to build a thick skin. You've got to keep going, keep trying. Do not give up. If it's important to you, keep going.
I agree, and I think it's one of those things where we need to realize that we all deserve love, and we need to have ourselves open to receive it. Dr. Harville Hendricks has some great work in regards to a wonderful book on receiving love as well, in case there you might need a little bit of TLC in that direction. And there's some wonderful experts we've had on the show as well, both my show as Sexy in Van City, of course, if you're just tuning in, and Marie Bernard's had on her show as well in Synchronicity in regards to just healing your life. If there's areas you need some healing to open yourself up to receive, because sometimes those opportunities may be there and we just don't see them because we're not open to it, because we don't believe that we deserve love on some weird level.
Totally. And you know what? One of you were wanting to know, like, tips on how to meet people. I think that there's so many different things you can do. First of all, start accepting invitations. Connect with people, you know. Have a dinner party at your house. Have a games night at your house. Organize something where people get together. And if someone invites you for coffee as friends, say yes. Get out there and meet people that are outside your social circle. Because that's really, aside from online dating, the only way that you're going to have a chance of exposing yourself to new people. And I would say also definitely have a profile up online. I wouldn't rely on it solely, but, you know, it's good to not put all your eggs in one basket. And then the biggest thing is, you know, when you go out into the world, just smile. You know, I'll be on like the Canada line or walking down the street and I've got this big beaming smile on my face. And I notice the people who are, you know, have their shoulders slumped down and they're frowning and they look miserable. And, you know, I mean, if you may feel sad and lonely, but you're not going to attract amazing love if you're walking around acting like you're sad and lonely.
No, that's really, really key. Because if we don't look like we're approachable, we're not going to connect. I wanted to add a few more things in regards to getting out there and meeting people. The other thing I think is really key is exploring what do you actually like to do. So
yeah.
Say you make yourself a bucket list of things that you've always wanted. Say you've always wanted to learn how to paint or speak French, which all of us should know how to do because we live in Canada. I'm just not particularly good at it myself. but with that, it's things that you really want. Maybe you want to learn how to salsa and you're like, oh, I got to wait till I have a partner or whatever. No, go on, sign up for the stuff. Go and try it. See if it's something you really like. Because a lot of times it's really important not just to stretch and meet people, but meet people who actually like the things that you think you might like.
Meetup.com is a great way to meet people. There's like hiking groups and any interest that you could possibly have, there's a meetup group. And if there isn't, you can start your own.
Just as long as there's not one that's illegal, like necrophilia or something really strange. Halloween is coming up, I had to say it. Sorry, as I just killed the conversation there.
If that's what you're into, you can keep that to yourself. Thank you.
I can honestly say that's not one of my things, but but with that, just finding things that you really, 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 really like to do. Date yourself first and foremost, and I think that's one key I'm gonna throw out there for those who are in relationships that have perhaps kind of going through bed death where they've had a massive change in the relationship and they're not connecting, they don't feel intimate with each other anymore. Is always continue dating yourself and just loving your partner as well. Mm-hmm. And exploring different ways to show your partner that you love them. And if you're single, you can do that with your friends and family as well, where it can enrich the relationships, where just finding different ways you can say I love you. Like, so whether or not it's writing somebody a thank you card because you really love something they did, where it's not just, you know, dear Marie, thank you for taking me out for tea the other day, where it'd be more like, you know, hey Marie, it was so awesome to go for tea the other day because we talked about A, B, and C and it was really awesome and I loved how you did this. It's one of the reasons I love you as my friend. You know, just something that's a little bit more personal.
Aww.
So things like that. Or, you know, maybe I've got one of my girlfriends, Anita, who's wonderful, who is one of those people who does all those extra little special things. She, one of her love languages, I believe, is acts of service. So she picks me up and we go swimming 3 mornings a week. And she makes, she always puts yogurt in jars and fresh fruit for me for a snack afterwards, which is one of the, and I just think it's beautiful. So you can do things like that where you get to take care of your friends and family as well. And it's really made me think as well, like just about how I can treat people better in general in my life. So not just in my own love life, but, and I think by doing that and reaching out and basically giving, but also allowing people to, you know, basically give to you as well, I think is really, really important. And that gives us an opportunity to explore what are the love languages that we really enjoy. And also it gives us an opportunity to appreciate other people's love languages as well. And Dr. Gary Chapman has his book, Five Love Languages, which I know I'm always quoting from. But there's acts of service, there's physicality, which does not necessarily mean sex. It can be holding somebody all night. It can be connecting, getting a hug from a friend, those kinds of things, gifts, words of acknowledgement, quality time. And all of us love all those in different degrees, but sometimes when we do something that to us seems to mean that, it means I just absolutely dig you and I want to date you, somebody may not pick up on that because that may not be their love language. And so if we get in the habit of exploring different people's, and the easiest way to do that is within our circle, and perhaps Thanksgiving's a great time to start this if you're not doing this already, in terms of gratitude, and just, you know, living with lots of love in our lives for our friends and families, and by expressing that in different ways that makes those, and finding out what works best, whether it's like, you know, your dad that you're not particularly connected to, whether it's, you know, somebody who, you know, you consider a surrogate family because you've just got that wonderful relationship with them. Mm-hmm. Because I think sometimes with family, that's a word that we create, we can create our own family as well. And I think that's one of the things we need to remember. And sometimes with those people, they may just connect you with somebody that could be really awesome.
Well, that's true. Mm-hmm. I actually don't really have any family of my own, and around Thanksgiving and the holidays. Sometimes I'm usually invited over to people's homes because, you know, it's a time of family and they want to include me, and mm-hmm. I get an opportunity to be thankful that I don't have a family. Because I get to see everyone's got some dysfunction in their family, right? So, and holiday time is when the drama tends to come out because everyone's together and there's usually alcohol involved and stuff. So, I like sitting back and watching
and
it all
the drama.
Unfold.
Holidays can be a very interesting time as well. On that note, we should probably touch base about visiting for holidays. Sometimes if you're bringing a loved one and connecting with where they literally meet the parents. Just some quick tips on that, because that can be kind of freaky sometimes too.
Oh God, you're asking me for tips on that?
Yep. I think we're going to have a discussion about it. So that sounds fair.
I have OMG. Because I don't have family too, like, it's so foreign to me to meet the family. Mm. It feels like so much pressure. Wow. Yeah. But, I mean, you just kind of got to bite the bullet. I guess, how do you feel when a guy introduces you to his family?
I think freaky in general, because I've got to impress lots of people as opposed to just one.
Yeah.
So there's a little bit of overwhelm, a little bit of panic. Okay, more than a little bit of panic, but a lot of times I think it depends on each situation, because I think the big thing to remember is I think they want to like you.
Uh-huh.
They really, really, really do. And it's kind of like when you go for a job interview, I think they want to hire you. Your resume gets you in the door. The fact that their son or daughter has brought you home, they want to like you, and are going to try really hard, even if it's because of sometimes culture or religious reasons, they may not be able, you know, may not want to right away, and there may be some discomfort. I think they really, really want to, because I think most people want their children to be happy. That said, sometimes it's hard because you don't know what the rules are, so you're kind of walking in and not knowing what the board is in terms of the board game.
Yeah.
So it's kind of hard to know which way to play. So sometimes it's best just to really take the time, listen. And I know there's always that expression, be yourself, but sometimes that's really hard. Try and follow the lead in regards to whoever's brought you there as when you're their date, because it's their territory. Kind of gauging, try and connect with people in general. In terms of whether to have sex at your potential in-laws' place, I think that's a discussion that needs to be held beforehand, before you get there and you're staying there for a few days. And I think every situation's a little bit different.
wow, having sex at the in-laws' house, ew, that just feels gross to me. I mean, for me personally, I would feel like, ew, no, I'm not going to have sex while your mom is upstairs. No, no.
I think it depends on the situation.
It does. I did, yeah, no, I'm not going to tell that story.
Of course, you know, all the listeners right now would like to hear that story, so... Okay, I'll change the subject.
Oh, you want me to tell it?
I kind of do, actually.
Oh, well, I had, when I was like 18, oh my God, I drove down to California with my boyfriend, and we stayed with his aunt, and it was just this one-bedroom condo, and we were on the... we were on the fold-out sofa in the living room, and obviously I didn't have any plans to have sex that night, and neither did he. But one thing led to another. God, that was so long ago. I don't think we actually went all the way. But, yeah, we got pretty hot and heavy on the little fold-out sofa in his aunt's house. Yeah, so it does happen.
Yes, it does.
But if it was his mom in the next room, I think that would have been different.
I think it's a matter of what feels right in terms of respect. I say it depends on the relationship. It depends on the family. I'd say, you know, just proceed with caution in more ways than one.
Yeah.
That sounds like a whole other conversation about to happen.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, no, I don't. Don't get me started with the sex stories, because I could go on all night and...
And you realize, I'm sure we've got lots of listeners who'd be possibly very curious about that.
Oh, I'm sure they would be. And then they'll all be following me on Facebook and sending me weird messages.
Which may or may not be a bad thing. Going full circle back to the topic in regards to living well and dating in Vancouver. What are some key things, top five tips that you think would be really helpful just for somebody who is either in a relationship and wants to kind of spike it up and connect again, or for someone who is just fresh and has not dated for a while?
Well, for people, I think that regardless of whether you're in a relationship or not, like you said, knowing what you want is really important. I just posted this actually on Facebook today. It's really important when you're looking for a partner, or even if you're already in a relationship and you're deciding whether you're going to move forward, it's really important to know what you want, know what your deal breakers are, know what's important to you, but that you might be able to negotiate on if there's a good reason for it.
Mm-hmm.
And know what you need in order to feel loved and fulfilled and safe and secure in that relationship. And be able to communicate that with your partner, because we're not mind readers.
No, even though we think we are sometimes, or we think our partner should be, is probably a better way to describe that.
Yeah, especially women, because, I mean, when a woman says something to another woman, it's like we totally understand chick language, but guys don't. Like, y'all are clueless, I'm sorry, but we need to just spell it out just plain and simple, and then tell the guy what you want, what would make you really happy. And then when he does it, thank him for it. Even if he doesn't do it perfect, thank him anyway, and don't tell him, oh, but it would have been better this way. No, just thank him for it. Yeah,
I'm going to add to that, where I think men just have, not all men, but some men have a, in terms of, men are really direct. And sometimes as women, we think that there's subtext to what they're saying. And I'm going to just kind of encourage women to really listen to what men actually say. What are the words that come out of their mouth? Because they're very direct and they're very honest about things. Sometimes we think and imagine that there may be another meaning to it and go over the words. What did he really mean? And that's a conversation that I think girls have been having since elementary school. And sometimes we still proceed to have those conversations as to what did he really mean? And he meant what he said a lot of the times. And if we just took the time to actually listen to that and realize that sometimes we are different, where not everybody speaks with subtext. And even though with women we are wonderfully, beautifully intuitive in regards to subtext, etc., and men are very direct, and both things are very beautiful, but just honoring and respecting and understanding that. But I think that ties in with the point that you made in regards to communication style and being able to communicate. So being able to just acknowledge the differences between men and women in general, in terms of just generalities that I'm speaking in.
Oh, totally. Well, we communicate and we think, our brains are different.
Dr. John Gray.
Yeah, our perception of the world is completely different. And that's why, I mean, women are always expecting, well, not always, but oftentimes women expect guys to understand what they mean. Or like you said, a guy will say one thing and she'll be like calling all her girlfriends, what do you think he meant when he said this? And it's like, well, he meant the words that he said. That's all there is to it. And so many times I think that I even do this now, even though I know I should know better. Guys can be really to the point.
Mm-hmm.
And so if all it takes is one or two words to communicate, that's all they'll use. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, well, what's going on? What's wrong?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they're not blah, 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 talking my ear off. But most guys, just like you said, are very direct, to the point, and efficient in their communication.
They are. And if you think about just through history as well, where men and I'm going to go back to the caveman era.
Ooh, I love those cavemen.
Well, there is a little bit of sexiness about that, about being pushed up against a wall, and where it's like, you, sexy, I take you back to my cave, and actually flinging you over the shoulder and bringing you back to the cave to have wild, passionate, sexy love.
Yeah.
Is pretty amazing. And gosh, I wish that happened all the time in regular life, all the time. But that's a whole other conversation. But the point being is just our ancestors, men would hunt, and they'd have to be very quiet so they didn't scare the game away.
Mm-hmm.
And so they had to be quiet, sometimes for hours. And whereas women, we are multitasking. A lot of times we were taking care of the kids. We wanted to be loud enough so then that way we were able to protect the children from animals. And we'd also be doing things like gathering firewood and planting, etc. And because of that, in general, and this is, again, generalities, that women tend to talk more than men in general. And again, I'm quoting a lot of Dr. John Gray, just in case anybody's curious, for men or from Mars, women or from Venus, and Venus on Fire, Mars on Ice, which is the more recent book. Which,
if you like John Gray, you're going to love Alison Armstrong. I'm serious. She's the bomb. And she talks about like male-female communication. Mm. Oh my God. It's like, wow. So eye-opening.
Just out of curiosity with Alison Armstrong, does she touch as far as I'm concerned, if someone self-identifies as a woman or self-identifies as a man, I honor and respect them as the sex that they self-identify as. But does she discuss in regards to trans or LGBTQ at all?
Not that I've heard.
Focused? Okay.
Not that I've heard. It would be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm curious, are you aware of any research on that? Because I've heard that autopsies that have been done on transgender people actually show that the brain structure is more like the gender that they identify with rather than the gender they're born with.
I will have to get somebody on to chat about that. I'm not sure. And I know Vanessa Tara, who does another one of our CITR personalities. I was going to say celebrities.
Yeah, we're celebrities. Come on, own it, girl.
She might have something to, she sends me some great stuff sometimes, so I may need to ask her after the show, or if she's listening right now, perhaps she can send me an email. That would be wonderful, or a Facebook comment. She's pretty terrific.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So if someone is absolutely in a relationship and it is dead any advice that we haven't given already, because we've touched on basically starting to date yourself as well so you can be the very best you. You can be exploring with the people around you that just in regards to just recognizing what their love languages are and playing and getting to find different ways that you can express and connect with them as well as you as the person that is supposed to be the most important in your life. But is there anything else you think that we've missed that perhaps we should talk about?
Blowjobs. I don't know, like how dead is the relationship?
I think it depends. I think relationships go through transitions sometimes after children. That's a big one because that's a huge spike in the relationship where it's a huge change. Other ones after menopause or menopause where hormonal changes happen. If you go a little bit earlier because versus like say a man who's 19 years old versus when he's in his mid-30s, men and women, I think there's a complete shift there. In mm-hmm. general, on a hormonal level, so sexual needs are completely different. It's in a different way. Where I think sometimes I'd like to think in the 30s, it's just more rich in regards to it. It's not so crazy jackhammer sex that you would have at 19 years old. I love your laugh. That was awesome.
I'm just thinking, you know, there's a time and a place for crazy jackhammer sex.
I think it's based on the definition of what jackhammer sex is. So I always think of jackhammer sex as genital friction, where there's no connection whatsoever. Where I think you can have a wonderful fuck, but still be emotionally connected, where it can be really visceral, but also really intimate.
Mm-hmm.
And that's hot.
Oh, for sure. Well, I guess for me, I don't have sex if there's no connection. So
some people do, and sometimes at 19. And not to judge any 19-year-olds, especially listeners out there who may be at UBC right now listening to this, I think it's really important to explore your sexuality, find out what you like, really check in with yourself and what you value. But as we evolve through life and with relationships, and yes, oral sex can be really amazing, wonderful way to connect as well. But so there's some really great tantra teachers in town. Beljit Riot does the Sensuous Goddess series, which is fabulous. There's also a Davy Ward who
does
some
really you've had
great
her
work.
On your show, right?
I've had both of them on my show, actually.
Cool. Yeah, I had Davy on my show a couple months ago.
She's amazing, and her husband's wonderful too. They're the only ones who are actually certified to teach authentic tantra in Canada, actually. And then across the border in Seattle, there is Tanya Diamond as well, who is known as the tantra teacher, who I've had on several times, who's been amazing. There is also Alison Braun, who has the Sextified Sisterhood for ladies who want to just get connected to their sense of sexuality. But as well as that, she's also known as the Bedroom Joyologist. And my all-time favorite is Kim Anami, who is the sex coach. She's absolutely wonderful, and she writes for Playboy. And her book should be coming out soon. I'm not quite sure what it's called, but last time I had her on, we were talking about the cum diet. And
oh, my goodness.
You may need to listen to the show. it's she's an amazing speaker. She's wonderful, and she's also a dear friend as well. But she also talks about sometimes with blowjobs as well. There's a certain space in the throat where you can actually have an orgasm while giving oral sex.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
And she does teach workshops on that, and as well jade egg workshops.
What's her name again?
Kim Anami. She's truly amazing.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there's some wonderful, wonderful people in Van City as well, who are great. And I know last week I had Joseph Eliezer on the show as well, who just wrote the book Simply Spirit, who if anybody out there is listening and perhaps not just with sexuality and wanting to connect where they feel disconnected with themselves. He's a psychotherapist and also an intuitive. He's a lovely, lovely, lovely man, but he's got a practice in West Point Grey. If anyone wants to connect, let me know and I can just send me an email or connect with me on our Sexy in Van City Facebook page and I can send you his information or any of the people I've just mentioned. And of course, Marie herself, if you want to find out more about dating and connecting.
Yeah, should I give my website? Or
I would love that.
Well, if people want to listen to Synchronicity, they can go to spiritualshow.com, or, of course, you can find the podcast at CITR's website. And if you're interested in dating coaching, you can go to my website, inspiredating.com, or you can email me at inspiredating@gmail.com, or just look me up online. I'm Marie Bernard all over the place. But I also want to say, like, I coach shy, geeky guys who are really good and need a little bit of a hand gaining some confidence. But I want to say to the ladies out there, if you're looking for that kind of guy, hit me up with an email, because you never know when I might have someone who is looking for a woman, because I know there are women out there that want men like that.
They are. I think everybody deserves love. And I think that if that's something that you want in your life, it starts with believing that you deserve love, because if you don't believe it, it's going to be really hard to attract that. And in a city like Vancouver, I think there is a movement towards connection, especially because so many people feel disconnected. I think there's going to be more of a movement to connect. And I encourage you, if you feel disconnected, please explore what you need to heal and open yourself up to be able to connect with people, because and I know I'm going to sound so Pollyanna for saying this, but I think connection is such a beautiful thing.
Well, it is. We're social animals.
Yes, we are. Very much so. So, Marie, what's next for you, my darling?
For me? Mm-hmm. Like what, tonight or in general?
Oh, I meant in general, but you can tell me about tonight, too.
Tonight, well, I'm not going to get into that. I'll leave that up to the imagination of your lovely listeners.
I love how you just dropped into sexy voice.
but yeah, I'm enjoying dating. I'm having a blast. I'm still looking for my one, but I am like getting so good at dating, and I am gonna help guys. I'm writing a dating book. I don't know when I'll be finished with that, because, you know, I'm kind of flaky when it comes to disciplining myself to get work done, but it is in the works.
Well, I'm looking forward to reading that. And would you share your website one more time?
Yeah, spiritualshow.com is for the radio show at CITR, and inspiredating.com is my website for dating coaching.
Inspire dating or inspired dating?
Inspire, because I want to inspire men to be all that they can be. And not in a sexual way, though. It's not an escort service. Just want to be clear about that.
I think that sounds perfect. And thank you so much for being on the show tonight.
Thank you for inviting me. It was so fun.
It's always fun. I can't believe it's been a couple years now since I originally met you, ironically, through the waves of CITR, when I was broadcasting live at Pride and you're broadcasting at the through the booth. And we
Yay.
Had to connect first and foremost through there. So it's always really fun. I love being on your show, and I love when we have fun and co-host together.
Yay. Well, if you weren't so busy during the day, you could be on my show again.
You know, I just may need to take you up on that and share.
Yay.
Yay. And up next normally would be Hans von Klaus's Misery Hour. And Marion is a very sexy man to be miserable with, who would normally guide you through the wee hours with his ambient music and super hot voice. But he is off until I believe he's back on the 17th. So he will not be there tonight. So I will be putting on some sexy music from one of the iTunes that they've created. And you've been listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. We will be back next week at the sexy hour of 10 o'clock. Have a great night, everyone. Bye-bye. And I'll try and find a commercial I have not played yet.
Sunday, October 21st, So Salacious Entertainment and CITR bring you a night of eclectic music at the Media Club, featuring indie rock group Valley Girl, acoustic songwriter Harley Spade, alternative hip-hop acts ACO plus SC, award-winning fiddle punk rocker Alex Randall, and funk soul buster David Morin. Tickets available at the door for $10 or through artists. Come down to the Media Club and kick back 10 days before Halloween with some great local independent music. Show starts at 9 p.m.
Become a friend of CITR and get great discounts downtown at
212 Productions, Beach Street Records, Blim, Dream Apparel, The Fall Tattooing, The Kiss Store, Heart and Soul Clothing Inc., Hits Boutique, Pacific Cinematheque, Scratch Records, Vinyl Records, Woo Vintage Clothing, and Zoo Shop.
It pays to be a friend of CITR. To learn more, come visit us in room 233 of the sub on UBC campus or check us out online at citr.ca.